The book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody till the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power, by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick, and are asked how this man has been healed. Let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that this man standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a noble sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all of them praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in it, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord, against his Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan have predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats, and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders perform through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. Now, before I begin with chapter 4, I need to back up and do a little refresher about chapter 3, because this is really part 2 of the same story, you know. I know some of you went to the movie theater recently, and you've seen a movie called Top Gun, and it's a sequel to a Top Gun movie that came out some years earlier. Well, on last Sunday, we were here, I read from chapter 3, about Peter and John were going up to the temple, it was about 3 o'clock, and they were coming up to the Gate of Beautiful, and there was a man there, a beggar, who could not walk, had never been able to walk. And he sees Peter and John coming up to his gate, and so he has his hand out. And then he gets a prize. Because Peter says, "Look at me." And so the man looks up. Oh, well, this is strange. And then he hears something that has to be really strange when Peter said, "Silver and gold, I have none." The lame man must have thought, "Well, if you don't have any silver and gold, keep on going, man. That's why I'm here." But Peter said, "Well, I give you the name of Jesus." And reach out and grab him and pull him up. And when he did, the man was healed. And he began running and praising God. And all the people who were there were amazed. They said, "This is the man who's been here for years and years, paralyzed." And they began rejoicing. And they get inside the temple there, and Peter preaches one of his great sermons. You know, he preached one at Pentecost. And then he tells them, "Why you're amazed at this? This man has been healed by the name of Jesus. Is it the same Jesus whom you hand over to Pontius Pilate and denied? God raised from the dead." And he says, "My brothers, I know what you did. You did in ignorance. You didn't realize what you were doing. But let it be known this man was healed in the name of Jesus." Well, that's part one of the story. Now, part two of the story is chapter 4. So while Peter and John are there giving this great sermon, the authorities show up. And it says the priests, the captain of the temples, and the Sadducees, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. Let me dig in a little bit about the difference between a Sadducee and a Pharisee. Okay, growing up, we hear Pharisee a lot because in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, most of the interactions Jesus has were with Pharisees, and they were usually a negative. But Jesus and the Pharisees actually had a lot in common. The Pharisees would be more like your lay ministers out in the countryside, and so Jesus rubbed shoulders to them more often, and they have their disagreements. Your Sadducees were more based around Jerusalem. They were associated with the high priests and company. And they disagree on the Pharisees with a number of items. The biggest thing they disagreed with them was the idea of resurrection. You see, the Pharisees had this crazy idea that when you die, you wouldn't stay dead. There would come a time in the future when God would bring the righteous back to life. They got that from books like Daniel, when the angel tells Daniel, "You will sit down and sleep for a while, but then you will rise and shine like a bright star." The Sadducees say, "Well, I can't find that in the law of Moses. That can't be true." And thus you had this conflict. And you may recall during Holy Week, when Jesus was getting his last press conference, it was the Sadducees that said, questioned Jesus about, is there life after death? And Jesus said, "Well, now what did the Lord tell Moses?" You know, you all know the story from the Bible or Charlton Heston. God spoke to Moses. And how did he introduce himself? He said, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Jesus said, "You see, God's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living." And I can imagine the Pharisees going, "Why do we think of that? That came from the book of Exodus. God spoken to Moses. There's a proof there is life after death. God himself told Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And so the easy way to remember this is to think about Sadducees is they believe when you die, that was it. So that's why they were sad, you see. Sadducees. Your Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. And so the Sadducees are upset because they don't believe in resurrection, and they sure don't believe Jesus was the first one in line to be resurrected. So they come in and see Peter and John preaching these great sermons. They have them arrested and thrown into the dungeon. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they number about 5,000. See, it was already too late. At that point, 5,000 folks got saved that day in the temple because of this. And then it says, the next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem. And it gives us a list of who all was involved, and some of this sound familiar. With Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were the high priestly family. You may recall how on Thursday night, Holy Week, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was first named before Annas and Caiaphas. Now, Caiaphas was the high priest officially. His father-in-law, Annas, had been the high priest, but he got in trouble with the Romans, and so the Romans more or less fired him and put Caiaphas in charge. Now, in the Jewish mind, their attitude would have been, well, no, Annas is still the high priest. That's just you Romans messing with the system. And so Annas and Caiaphas, they kind of had a share of respect and power there. And in fact, when Annas and Caiaphas questioned Jesus, at one point, the guards got mad at Jesus and slapped him in the face. And these were the two that played a role in bringing Jesus before the Grand Sanhedrin and having him condemned. And now here we are a couple weeks later, and they got Peter and John. And so they bring Peter and John and ask, by what power, by what name did you do this? Now, remember, Peter, what he was doing during that Thursday night when Jesus was being questioned. He was outside watching from a distance, warming his hands. He wanted to see what was going on, but he wouldn't get too close to the action. And one by one by one, servants were asking him, hey, aren't you that guy that runs around with Jesus? No, I don't know who that is. No, that's not me. A little while later. Hey, aren't you that guy that was around with Jesus? Not me. I don't even know who he is. I'm just here warming my hands. A little while later. Hey, you got a Galilean accent. Aren't you one of Jesus' friends? No, not me. I never heard of him. And as soon as he said it, the rooster crowed. And Luke's gospel said, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. In other words, Jesus was close enough that he could hear and see Peter. And Peter ran and wept bitterly. But here, that's a few weeks later, Peter is now before the high priests and elders. And says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, but we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and asked how this man has been healed. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Oh, you're talking about dropping some 10-pound hammers there, right? He's looking at the high priest and saying, this man's been healed because of Jesus. You're the one who crucified him. That is your doings, your shenanigans. But God raised him from the dead. And then he quotes the book of Psalms. The stone that is rejected by you, the builders, has become the cornerstone. And then we got verse 12. He goes on to say, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven among mortals by which we must be saved. And the fact is, you can go through the history books and look at different religious leaders. Some of them good, some of them bad, some a little mixed up. But there's only one name under heaven given by which men must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. How can I prove that? God, the rest of them have died and are buried somewhere. If they die and buried and they're still dead, don't listen to them. If they die and rose again on the third day, you might want to pay attention to what they got to say. The name of Jesus. For there is no other name in heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. Okay. And now look at verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. In other words, Peter and John didn't pull out their credentials and say, by the way, we're one of the 12 disciples. Here's my business card. They didn't have to do that. What that high priest and his friends saw was how bold Peter and John were. And they realized that these were uneducated. They didn't go to the Jewish seminary. They were uneducated, ordinary men. These are just two fishermen showed up from Galilee. And yet the high priest company were amazed. And because of that boldness, they recognized them as being companions of Jesus. These are that little group of 12 that was running around with Jesus. And then verse 14. And when they saw the man being cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So, I mean, what can you say? You got Peter and John preaching at you. And right here is the man next to them. He's been lame all his life. What can you say? He is literally walking proof, right? He's out here running and jumping, praising the Lord. You can't deny the evidence. What do you do? So they ordered Peter and John to lead the council while they discuss the matter with one another. And they have a dilemma. They say, what do we do with this? Or it's obvious all who live in Jerusalem that a noble sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. No, when you got a guy running around the church doing laps, been paralyzed, you can't deny something's happened. He said, but to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. And so they called them to order them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And I can't help but think that's how it is today. Oh, some folks, they like churches when churches are doing the Lord's work and we're taking up for the food pantry and getting school supplies and, you know, and we're taking care of the sick folks and that sort of stuff. They're all for that. But don't you say too much about Jesus now. We won't hear about that. But honey, you're missing the point. It's because of Jesus that we're doing all this. I mean, how many atheists you see running around doing good deeds and being organized like that? We have a moral incentive to do that. And so when they tell Peter and John, and now, Peter and John, we don't mind you coming in the temple and giving out free health care and healing folks. That's fine. This don't be doing any more in this name of Jesus. Just keep that to yourselves. Peter and John answer them, whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. Sorry, Caiaphas, you're just out of luck. It is so important, we can't keep from being quiet. We got to tell folks what's happened with Jesus. And so, what happens? After threatening them again, they let them go. In other words, it's kind of like a showdown. That's what you're saying, but you do this again, you're going to get in trouble. And instead, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all of them praised God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. Now, first of all, I will say that 40 years old sounds a lot younger now than it did a couple years ago. Hashtag 1981, okay? But they said, you know, we can't do anything because everybody loves these guys. They know this man was paralyzed. He was healed in their sight. We can't touch them. So all they could do was kind of give them a threat and send them on their merry little way. And when they did, they went to their friends and had a little prayer meeting. First, they gave a report and said, well, this is what the high priest told us. And then they prayed. And listen to this prayer. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them. Notice how they gave God the praise, being the creator. It is you who said by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor David, your servant. Here they quote from Psalms 2. Why do the Gentiles rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers had gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. You just read that a little while ago, a slightly different translation. That was Psalms 2. And they go on their prayers by saying, for in this city, talking about Jerusalem, in fact, both Herod, Antipas, and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, gather together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. In other words, they're talking about on Good Friday, when you had the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, you had Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, you had both Gentiles and Jewish people, and they all gathered together against Jesus. To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. In other words, Good Friday wasn't just some little freak accident. God had predestined and set in motion the events for it to happen. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servant the speaker word with all boldness. In other words, Lord, we know we're getting threats now. They're raising the ante up a little bit. So give us the strength, Lord, to speak with boldness, not to be quiet, to be boldness, to be bold. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed, how? Through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, when we pray for folks, we should be praying for folks for healing in the name of Jesus. That's how it worked 2,000 years ago. That's how it works today. And so they were in the church saying that prayer. And what happened? While they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Okay. And so what's our themes out of this chapter? Well, we notice that when Peter and John spoke, the high priest saw their boldness. And the prayer, they asked God, let us servants speak with boldness. And after they were finished praying, the Holy Spirit filled them, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. In other words, they weren't afraid. The high priest and his crowd and his guards no longer frightened them. They speak with boldness. And then secondly, notice how the theme of the name of Jesus, that this man standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Later on he says, there is salvation, no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. And in that prayer, it speaks about how stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders perform through the name of your holy servant Jesus. The idea about the name of Jesus, that's the game changer. You want to change the game, you got to speak the name of Jesus. That changes everything. Here was Peter and John, especially Peter, who just a few weeks earlier was hiding in the woods, scared, crying, because he denied Jesus 3 times. And now being filled with the Holy Spirit, he could tell the high priest and company, you all crucified Jesus, but God raised him up. And as I power in his name, this man has been healed. And there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. That is our Christian faith. The faith that we put in the name of Jesus. And so at this time, I invite you to open your hymnals. The church hymnal 99. We have a song called Faith of Our Fathers. Now, this is the faith that's been passed down from generation to generation. And some of our ancestors were locked up in the jailhouse and persecuted, but they kept the faith. And our job today is to keep that faith in Jesus, that faith of our fathers. Stand.